of leadership and administration. That is our topic tonight. We have been going through many different gifts. And all the spiritual gifts, and every month we have a different topic. All of those teachings are archived, and you can go and rewatch any of them. Just go to Mighty Wind School of the Spirit. That's the channel on Mighty Wind Network. Mighty Wind School of the Spirit, and you can click on where it says Women Bible Studies, and where it says Equip for Your Calling, and specifically the teaching on the gifts. So then you can find all of those teachings there. You can also find things that we talked about and studied in the previous years about Can a Woman Preach? Why do we even use titles? And what are the five bold ministry gifts? And just so many different topics. They're all archived. So you can go there and re-watch those. So that's going to be a valuable resource for all of us, you know, even as time in the days to come when we really need to know and have our sword so sharpened and really understand who we are as women in the Word of God, being able to use the Word of God as our sword and not shying back, not shrinking back, but knowing without a shadow of a doubt that what we do according to the will of God, according to His Word. Amen. God uses both men and women to bring forth His purposes. And tonight, the topic being leadership and administrative gifts, that is such an incredible topic. It's a big topic. I could talk on and on and on about leadership. It's such an important thing, right? The Lord had me years ago, you could write a book on leadership, Get Up and Lead. Some of you guys know about that, and we've been going through that book on the Morning Wives. We're just about done. We have two entries left. But there's a lot of things that I can say about leadership. There's a lot more than I'm going to be able to cover tonight, that is for sure. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to share what I believe God wants me to share for tonight, because you're getting a lot of training on leadership, even if you follow along in the mornings and through the study on the Get Up and Lead book. Amen? But I want to first start us off with Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6, this is the word it says, it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do not do it by our own might. We don't do anything by our own power, but by the Holy Spirit. He says, but by my Spirit. So, women of God, you are called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone has a different calling, and some of them are similar to one another, and some of them are different, but never, ever, ever underestimate, and never, ever belittle what God is doing in your lives, because you're all leaders in your own, your own respect, in your own regards. You're a leader of some sort. God is raising you up to be leaders. And I believe that there are natural born leaders, but I believe that you can teach and instill leadership principles so that we all walk wiser, stronger, more discerning, more biblical, right? And have the wisdom of God so that when we are presented in certain situations, we know how to respond because we have the one that fills our mouths, which is the Holy Spirit. He says, when you open your mouth, I will fill it. But that is assuming that you are a yielded vessel listening. We have to listen to the Spirit of truth, right? So women that are not going to be shaken, they're not going to back up and back down and remove themselves because of fear or intimidation or faulty thinking. Amen? We're going to lead while being yielded to the Holy Spirit. And of course, we do this in regardless of what the gift is that we're studying. We want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of all truth. Amen? So let's first look at Romans 12. Romans 12, 6 and 8. 6 through 8. This is a passage of scripture where it lists a lot of gifts. Amen? We've studied most of these already. But let's look at Romans 12, 6 through 8. I'm going to read it out loud for you. And it says this, having then gifts differing. We have different gifts, but the same Spirit, right? We have multiplication of gifts, but yet the same Spirit, right? You don't have just one gift, do you? I've taught you this before. You can have all of them. You can have as many as you want. You can have as many as God has already spoken and prepared you for, but you can have as many as you're yielding yourself to receive. Amen. One of the best prayers you can say is, Lord, prepare me for my next season. Teach me what I need to know. Prepare my heart, prepare my ability to hear, to understand, and walk in your truth. Prepare me for that next season. Right? So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. There's a grace given to you. If you have a gift, we all have gifts. God gives us gifts. Freely he gives them, right? But there's a grace. That's why you can look at somebody operating in their gift, their God-given gift, and you might say, how in the world does she do that? How in the world does he do that? There's a grace that's given to that individual to walk in that gift, right? So having been given different gifts according to the grace that is given to them, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So here we see in this portion of Scripture, he who leads. Leadership. We're going to talk about this here today. And although I could have chosen many, many different characters in the Bible, biblical characters, I chose Nehemiah because it's one of the most powerful, in my mind anyway, one of the most powerful leaders that we can study and really glean so many practical things, just practical things that he has done, the Lord has shown him, right? So let's turn, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Nehemiah, just turn to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to look at a few scriptures there. And as you are turning there to Nehemiah, we know that Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. We know that he was in a foreign land. We know that it was his job, he was responsible to make sure that the king didn't die, didn't get poisoned, to keep the king alive. We know that he was a man that was of excellent character. And we know that his heart, though he was in this pagan land serving, his heart was for his people. His heart was always for his people, right? The Israelites, right? In the process of Nehemiah being in the court of the king, the courts of the king and ministering to the king, he overhears as he's going in and out the palace. He hears the destruction that has taken place for the Israelites and how the walls, in their temple are all broken down, burned by fire, exposed. And very dangerous for his people, right? He hears how the destruction of his own homeland. And he gets an ache in his heart to do something about it. God was about ready to use this man. God is about ready to use you ladies as well. And it starts with, Nana, use me. I am so ready. But it starts with a laid down life that is a life filled with prayer and a dependency on Christ. And so Nehemiah was a man of prayer. When he heard what was taking place to his own people, he immediately went into prayer and fasting. His heart was grieved. He needed to find out if this was true. He needed to find out because his heart was yearning to help in whatever way he could help. Amen? So when we look at Nehemiah, we're in chapter 1 right now, and if we look at verse 3, they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. The greatest leaders are people that have a heart to help. They have a heart to make a difference, not so they get the glory or the credit or to be seen, but so that someone else can literally rise up and walk in what they are supposed to walk in. It's a laid down life. He says, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And then verse 5, starting in verse 5, and it goes, you know, all the way to the end of chapter 1, we read of Nehemiah's prayer. And I have mine highlighted and underlined and notes everywhere because for many, many years I have studied this man's life and this book specifically. I love this book. One of the most important things that you can, when you read, we're not going to read it right now, his prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. And you should read it. And when you read it, you'll notice this man, that's, his life is set apart for Jesus, or for the Lord, right? He didn't think of himself so high and lofty. When he prayed, he repented not only on behalf of other people, but also on his own behalf, for himself. He included himself, right, in the prayer of repentance. He was a humble man. And in his humility, God raised him up. And that is what he is doing with us too. In true humility. You've got a lot of leaders that will walk in false humility, but God knows the difference. Tonight we're talking about leadership. We're also talking about administrative gifts. So two gifts tonight. We're going to couple them both in tonight. But I'm only going to talk about leadership in what is a good leader. Because obviously I could be up here talking about leadership and then giving you examples of what a bad leader would do. And how to identify if you are under a wrong or a perverted, a controlling, a manipulative type of a leader. But we're not talking about that tonight. But just know that not every leader is trustworthy and not every leader is walking from a place of purity. And we need to be able to discern what is truly a good leader from someone that is all about themselves. And so that is definitely, unfortunately, the case at times. But tonight we're going to focus on what is a good leader. Amen? All right, so let's look at, we looked at Nehemiah 1. Now, we're just going to jump around a little bit here. And if we go to Nehemiah 6. And 3. 6:3. It says, I am doing a great work. Nehemiah started, once he went and surveyed the land. Once he went at night and didn't tell a soul, and went and surveyed the land, came back and saw that there was a great need to start rebuilding, and he went back to the king. I'm just going to quickly tell you. Came back to the king and said, and he did his duty, and the king said, why do you look so down? Why do you look so discouraged? And you know, that could have been a death sentence for him. As a cupbearer to the king, he had needed always to be positive and upright, happy, and all this. And he wasn't, because his heart was grieving. And the king says, what is happening? What's wrong? And he explained, he shared what was happening in his heart. And God gave him favor. And he said, okay, how long? When do you want to go? How long will this trip be? He said, I need to go back. I need to rebuild those walls. And he said, okay, I grant that unto you. And he said, well, I need some help. I need provision. I need a letter of protection. I'm going to be going through dangerous territories, and I don't want to get killed in the process. Paraphrase. And God gave him everything. Great favor. And he went. And he went, and he started, and he saw, right? And he saw what was there. And so then he started the building process under the unction of the Lord. And any time you start a leadership position, role, you step into something to lead, to start something, there's always going to be the Sanballats and the Tobias, which are demonic. Their names literally mean demonic strength that comes against you. So of course demonic strength came against this man of God that was leading and doing what God had put upon his heart to do. And so, but he did not allow the tactics of the enemy to get him down. So in Nehemiah 6 and 3, it says here, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. They were telling them, come down, let us meet together in verse 2. trying to tell him, come on down, stop the work. Stop doing what you're doing. So he tells him in verse 3, I cannot come down and lead. Why should the work cease while I go down to you? Amen? So he did not allow it. This man, he didn't allow the distraction. He didn't allow it to happen. This man understood something. And we need to understand something as a leader and growing leaders that are growing in this gift. That what is forged in the valley of your lives, the things that are forged in the valleys of your lives, then and only then can they be executed in other people. Like, in other words, you can't give to somebody else what you have not gone through yourself. You, once you've gone through something, Nehemiah was experiencing, first of all, you know, he was a prisoner, you know, taken in the king's court. Trained, because he was a man of excellence, just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Joseph, just like so many that we can read of in the Word of God. Taken as prisoner, he said, what happened? But yet their hand was to the plow, and God raised them up, even as prisoners. And so when difficult things happen, and we set out to do what was right, we have to know something. The attack may be great, but what God is forging through the fire is what he's going to cause to use through you and through you to help somebody along the way once you have gained the victory. Sometimes people, you know, they try to minimize shortchange as stop what's taking place, but you're only really truly shortchanging yourself. Let God complete and do a perfect work in you. Let him do it, because when you do let him do it, you're literally being so strengthened to stand no matter what comes against you. Well, Nehemiah was a man like this, strong, not in his own strength. When you read that prayer in the first chapter, you see what a humble man that was dependent upon the Lord, right? So he didn't start his leadership with some great strategy. Strategy is good, and strategy has a place. But he didn't start his leadership with a great strategy. He started with a broken heart. Is there a broken heart? Have you experienced aches and pains in our heart, right? In our hearts, right? We all have. But it's that very place that God wants to grow you up and out of, and bring you to a place where you're going to be able to help other people if we heed the Spirit of God through the process. So Nehemiah didn't start off with some great plan. He started off in tears. He started off with a broken heart. He started off with yearning for his people that he couldn't go back to until God made a way. He said so he could help them. So when he heard that those walls were broken down, the gates were burned up, like we read already, he fasted, he prayed. That was in Nehemiah 1. True kingdom leadership is born out of hardship. There was a hardship for this man. He became a great leader. If there's hardship going on in your life, that's a key right there. That's a clue right there. And God is setting you up to be raised up. So that you learn what you need to learn, so that you are strengthened and fortified to walk through those difficulties and help someone else along the way, specifically after you've gone through them. So true kingdom leadership is born out of hardship, not personal ambition. You're like, I'm going to be this great leader. I've got this vision. I got this plan. I got this idea. Listen, God may give you a vision, a plan, or an idea. And of course, he does. He does that all the time. But not until you're fully prepared. Because the tears that you have already sown, the tears that have already been, you know, the ground has just been covered. Your heart has been broken. But you came out different than when you went in. You came out different. You allowed the tears, the pain, and the looking up to the Lord to shift the very core of who you are. And you found that who you really are is one that just wants to serve the Lord 100%, however that will look like. You found that it's really not about
anything of you being seen accomplishing certain things. I know I want to accomplish this, I want to accomplish that. It's good to have goals and motives, but we have to make sure that we're first so pressed into the heart of the Father, and that that is where our identity comes from. That that is where we are. So it's like a picture of Christ. They see us, they see Christ, because we have spent enough time in the secret place, and we continue to spend that time in the secret place where He molds us. Amen?
Amen.
So you cannot effectively lead people through a crisis until you've gone through your own. You know, building a church, not until, you know, you've got to let God use you in some pretty horrific ways before you can build anything, right? A team, unless you have first gained personal victory from your own trial, I would say wait. Ownership always precedes execution. That's why sometimes people promote people too quickly. You know, they'll see a gift, they'll see character, they'll see charisma. You know, they'll see someone that has such a gift of charisma. People like them, they're funny, they're so well-liked, you know, and they're witty and everything. But if they're not ready, age has nothing to do with it. If they're not ready emotionally to stand before a group of people and lead them in truth without falling themselves, then charisma has nothing. We should be marking a leader just based on charisma at all. But character is what we need to look at. And there are a lot of people that are being promoted because they have charisma, when really promotion should come because the character has already been established through the hard things of life. And their lives are so yielded to the Lord. But it's obvious that this is a leader that you can trust. This is a leader that is not in it for themselves, but is in it because of pure obedience unto the Lord. Right? Amen?
Amen.
So prayer and preparation. Nehemiah was a master strategist. Before he asked the king for resources, he had already surveyed the land. He already surveyed the ruins by night. He mapped out the damage. He calculated the materials that he would need. So it's not that he didn't make a plan. He just made sure that his plan first included prayer. And once he prayed and he spent that time praying, then he got up. And then he used the wisdom that God gave him. And then he went and he mapped out the area and he saw what was needed and what kind of materials was going to be needed to do it and whom he would need to help him. He did all that. But his ultimate reliance was upon the Lord. And our ultimate reliance must always be on the Lord. Amen. Whether leadership comes naturally to you or not, if leadership comes naturally to you, then even more you need to have a reliance on the Lord than if it doesn't come naturally to you. Because if it doesn't come naturally to you, then most likely you're going to be yielding your life to the Lord, right? Lord, what do I do next? What do I do, right? That's a good thing. Never, ever, ever stray from that position. Look at 2:4. We're going to go back to 2:4. I said we're going to jump around a little bit in this book. Nehemiah 2:4. Very end here of this. I'll just read two. I'll just read the whole thing here. The king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. The king said to him, "What do you request?" He didn't just start going off, "Well, this is what I need, this is what I want." He didn't just start speaking in his natural mind, with his natural abilities. He prayed. Ladies, you want to be a great leader? Then be a great follower of Christ. What he said at the very end there, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." It takes 2.2 seconds to say, "Lord, what do you say?" Seriously, it doesn't have to be a whole long prayer. Sometimes you'll find yourself in the midst of a situation you need to give the answer, and maybe the answer needs to be right at that moment. Lord, what do you say? God will speak through your mouths simply because you yielded it to Him and you asked Him to speak through you. Amen?
Amen.
So planning without prayer is presumption. We do not want to presume on the grace of God. We want to plan, but we want to make sure that we're people of prayer. When we look at chapter 3, we see that Nehemiah didn't expect to build the wall all by himself. He put people in position. He put different people in different positions so that everyone could do what they needed to do. He organized like a mass army, so to speak. He organized people into families, priests, and rulers to build specific sections of the wall right in front of their own house. So a leader, a true kingdom leader, is an equipper. They're going to equip other people. They're going to help other people. They're going to empower other people. They're going to speak into their lives. They're going to see what they may not see, because a leader is a visionary. A leader has the gift of vision. They have a vision that God has given them, right? Maybe through the hardship, maybe through the difficulty. You know, you God healed your heart. He touched your heart. He showed you things. And now it's like he gave you a vision to take you through and into that next season so that you could be that help to somebody else. Well, a leader has vision. Amen? Amen. But that leader with vision obviously needs people to help carry the vision out. And we'll get to that in a moment. You are being equipped. Even by coming to these classes, you are being equipped and empowered to walk as godly, fiery, yielded women in his truth, in the word of God, amen? So that you can serve. So that you can serve faithfully. And so that the Lord is not mocked through your lives, but honored. We want the Lord to be honored in everything we do, right? Come on, ladies. We want to be women of the word. We want to be women that honor our Lord. And so then, therefore, that's why we study the word, because we want to be, we want to rightly divide the word of God, right? And we don't want to be ashamed of wrongfully handling his word and teaching others the same. Amen? So unwavering resilience against opposition. I think this is one of my favorite qualities that I read regarding Nehemiah. It's his unwavering resilience against the opposition. The moment that the work began, I mean, right at the beginning, he starts out. He has this plan. God gave him this plan. He got up from that place of pain and tears. He got up, God gave him a plan. He gave him the provision. He gave him the okay. He gave him the yes. He sets out to go and do this plan. And the Sanballat and Tobiah, they start with the mockery. They start with the ridiculing. They start with the intimidation. They start with everything. They start with to try to stop the plan of God. And there's nothing new under the sun. Right? How did Nehemiah respond? Look at 4. Let's go to chapter 4 and 17. It says, to those who build on the wall, those who build on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. They were prepared. They were always prepared. Even while they were working, they were prepared. They weren't turning their backs. They weren't being oblivious. They weren't in denial. They weren't acting naive. They were working, but they were prepared. What? Prepared for what? For the battle. Prepared for the attack. Prepared for the opposition. Prepared for the naysayers. Prepared for the no, you can't. Prepared for all the lies. All the lies. There were people that were hired, literally hired, to lie about this man of God. Literally hired to bring forth false accusations. Don't be surprised when things like that start to come up and all you did was answer the call of God. You say, yes, Lord, I will be your vessel, your handmaiden. Whatever you called me to do, I will faithfully do it. Resilient. We must be resilient in the face of opposition. Nehemiah responded by telling them, work, but be ready. And the same is true for us. You know, opposition
when you're living a life yielded to the Lord, is only proof that you're doing what is right. It is proof. When you're living your life for the Lord, if you're not living your life for the Lord and it's all about you and there's opposition, that's not really opposition. It's not called opposition, right? That could be a correction. That's self-imposed, But when you're living your life for the Lord and there's opposition, just know you're on the right track. Just know that opposition is because the enemy is threatened by what you carry. Literally threatened by the power of God in you. Literally threatened that your yes to Jesus is still your yes and you're not about ready to change that ever. Right? Never. Look at Nehemiah 4, but we're gonna look at let me see here. Verse 7. It says, now it happened, Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonites, when they all heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored. Let's stop right there. When the enemy heard, when he saw, when he understood, you're standing for your marriage. When the enemy heard, when he understood, when he recognized that you were not about ready to just let your kids go into rebellion, rebellion without a fight. When the enemy caught wind of the fact that, oh, there was a negative diagnosis, but you didn't roll over and play dead. You rose up and said, no. The last time I checked, the word of the Lord says that he is my healer. And he already purchased that healing on the cross. The minute the enemy catches wind that you are on track to be a mighty soldier for Christ. Let me reread here. Sanballat and Tobiah, when they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, when they found out, what? Nehemiah is working on rebuilding what we destroyed? Yes. They weren't very happy. Nehemiah says, when they heard that Jerusalem was being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. And verse 8 says right here, and they conspired together to come and to attack Jerusalem, to create confusion. Anytime you're doing the will of God, and all of a sudden, confusion. It's just, everything is confusing. I don't understand. I just feel confused. I can't think straight. I don't know what's going on. Take authority. It is a tactic of the enemy to get you off track. But nevertheless, as it says in verse 9, they prayed. They prayed, and we set a watch against them. It says here, day and night. Because it said the strength of the laborers were failing. Sometimes you're in a battle for a long, long time and you can feel like your strength is failing. We're not robots, we're human people. We're human, right? Blood runs through our veins. So you can get discouraged, you can get tired. Even as a godly leader, he was a godly leader. He had chosen these people, but yet he continued to stand firm in prayer and in fasting and carrying out the plan of God, even though the attacks were pretty wicked. And they were wicked. Strategy. Look at verse 14, same chapter 4. And I looked and I rose and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, sometimes some leader just needs to stand up. Maybe it's you. You just need to stand up and speak truth. Do not be afraid of them. Maybe you're afraid yourself, but at that moment, God gives you the strength and the vision to speak it. Why? Because you're a leader even in the making. You're not going to shrink back and say, yeah, but I just barely got that strength. Joe, who does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. It's the strength of God. He is supernaturally recharging you right now. Amen. What did he say? He says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your families. Fight for the will of God to be done in your lives. Amen? Your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses, he's saying, fight! That's what a leader is going to do. They're going to recognize tactics of the enemy, but still stand true to the word of God.
So a strong leader does not stop to argue with the critics. I mean, there is a point in time, there is a place in time. Sometimes you need to respond to a foolish statement, right? Unless they become proud and puffed up. But sometimes the Bible also says if you respond to a fool, you become a fool yourself. So you just need to have discernment when to speak up and when not to speak up. But remember, he said, I'm doing a great work. Oh no, I cannot come down. The valley of oh no, I cannot come down. Because I'm doing a great work. The work that you're doing for the Lord in the middle, maybe some of you are in the middle of the assignment. And sometimes the work is the thickest in the middle of the assignment. Oh no, you cannot stop. Oh no, you will not be distracted. Oh no, you will not be just deterred from doing the work of God. Amen? Godly leadership exercises authority which is rooted in character, not titles. Not titles. Godly character exercises authority. That authority is rooted in our character in Christ. Why? Because every single Christian has authority to use the name of Jesus, has authority to stand firm on his word. There should not be any elitism in the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, there's a lot of it. There is positions, yes, there's functions. But I'm talking about pride. I'm talking about people that they think they're just above the law and everyone else is beneath them. That is not biblical. That's an attitude of the heart, isn't it? That's pride, and that's not acceptable at all. So a leader is a servant. They should serve. Whatever needs to be done. If you have a leader that cannot clean bathrooms, if you're under a leader that cannot stay late, sweep, and take care of whatever needs to take care of, get there early and help set up, then I wonder what kind of leader that individual really is. Because a true leader, is a servant, first and foremost. And we are all called to be servants, aren't we? So if somebody wants to be a leader, like even Jesus said, he's the greatest servant, he's the greatest teacher, greatest leader, but he's the servant of all. So we must, as a leader, never think something is beneath you. If you think, oh, I shouldn't have to do that because I'm a, and then you mention your title. Oh boy, who said that? Whoever said that, yeah. That's how I feel too. Oh boy, because that reveals a lot. That a lot needs to be taken care of, and that maybe that position of power has gone to your head, and actually you become more of a dangerous leader at that moment. But we're not going to go there, but you guys know where I'm going, right? So godly leaders, they exercise authority, but that authority is rooted in character, not titles. And so when your life is pure, you can carry unshakable spiritual authority. When your life is pure, we're all called to carry authority, it's in the name of Jesus. But when your life is pure, you will carry unshakable spiritual authority. Now, we talked a little bit here about the gift of leadership. I want to switch now and talk about the gift of administration. That a leader is the visionary, right? Leader casts the vision. Gift of administration. That's the ability to see the big picture, to help with organization, and to help with mobilizing, like carrying things out, right? Administrative giftings. So when we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it's another section where there's a lot of gifts that are mentioned, and this one is mentioned right here in this portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, and variety of tongues. Amen? Now, if you have a King James Bible, it will say governments. Okay? And so I have a new King James, and it says administration. Right? So administration or governments, if you have, King James, what administration, I did a word study on administration, governments, in this portion of scripture, and the Greek root word, I'm not even going to try to say it, but it means to steer, as in a ship, to steer, to direct, to steer something in the right way. Like a leader, taking the vision of that the leader gave and steering the concepts so that people can be mobilized to do what, to carry out the vision, basically. So administration is like someone that can steer a ship. Well, when you steer a ship, in steering anything, it's directing something through some difficult waters, right, into safety. It's directing. It's navigating a vessel safely through waters, through unpredictable weather, and all sorts of things. So administration is in the kingdom is to spiritually steer God's people through rough times, through difficult times, and help them get to the place they're called to be. That is why leadership and administrating and administrative gifts work hand in hand. Can you have a leader that is also an administrator? Yes, all the time. Very, very, of course, they're very similar gifts. But, you know, God's going to pour into you whatever is needed to get the job done. So, yes, you can have a leader that is also very administrative. Amen? Can it be that you just have one or the other? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So when we look at some biblical examples of an administrative gift, we can look at in Exodus 18. I'm going to tell you where these are found, and you can always read them later. But Exodus 18, 13 through 16. This is where we read about Jethro and Moses. So Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And, you know, Moses was sitting from morning until evening, you know, trying to pray and to settle all the different disputes, you know, for all the millions of Israelites that would come up to him and tell him all this for all their problems. And he was getting tired, and he was getting fatigued, and he was getting worn out. And his father-in-law, Jethro, which had the gift of administration, the wisdom of God, went up to him and told him, you know, you're going to burn yourself out. You need to find people that have the spirit of God, that have the wisdom of God, and you need to set them in groups, you know, of hundreds and fifties and tens. You need to set them to govern so that people will go to them and so that you're not wearing yourself out, and let them bring the more difficult, harder cases to you. That was the wisdom that the Lord gave to Jethro. And that's what an administrator will do. We'll see the vision Moses had. He was a leader and he had great vision. God gave it to him. But he was one man. One man. And so he needed someone with the gift of administration to come alongside and help him implement that vision. Right? So it's a great example of making sure that the leader's gift, the vision that is being cast, is going to come to pass because there are people that are doing their gifts, right? And Joseph is another, this is the last one that I have, is Joseph. There's lots of different examples throughout the Word of God. But Joseph in Egypt, and so this is in Genesis 41, 33 through 40, where Pharaoh recognized the Spirit of God was upon him, was upon Joseph. And, you know, Pharaoh said, he said, you know, I need, you know, we're facing all these difficulties and this and that. And you know, and he had his dream and he told about the dream. And Joseph says, because the wisdom of God was upon this man. And he said, well, this is what you need. This is what I would do. You know, do this, you know, prepare. You have 7 years of plenty, then you're going to have 7 years of famine. But, you know, if you store up the food and you have people come and you just ration food and you know, so we lay out the plan. And Pharaoh said, you're the man. You're the man for the job. You have the plan. God gave you the blueprint. He gave you the way of administering the plan so that it could be carried out, so that the vision could come about. You know? And Joseph didn't say all of these things because he thought he was the man. He said these things because God gave him that ability to administer. Amen?
So good.
And so many times God will give you the wisdom to do, to carry something out. And that's a lot of, many, many times, how God uses it. He says, oh, you're the person I want. Will you do it? Will you do it? And so, you know, our job is obviously to pray and say, Lord, what have you called me to do? Yes, am I supposed to do this? And not shrink back and shy away from when God tells you to do a certain thing, because you will grow through the things he's called you to do. If you wait until everything is so perfect and you're comfortable, then you waited too long. Not only that, God will probably use something else because your comfort zone is not his priority. Right? You being comfortable is actually an X, not a check, like a, not a green light. You know? It's like, if you're comfortable, then chances are you're comfortable in your own skin.
You're the wrong person.
You know? And so, if there's, don't get me wrong, there's training, there is equipping, there's education. You know, if you feel God's calling you to be trained, you're being trained right now. You're going to school right now, you're getting trained. But, you know, if you feel like, wow, you know, and you apply yourself, there's a place for education. There's a point and place to be educated, right? But is education everything? No. Right? We need to listen to the Spirit of God and walk the track that he has for us, and not everybody's track is the same, right? It's different. But we need to be people that, even if we're afraid, but we know that God has called us to do something, and we don't feel like we are so ready and equipped and have all the answers, but we know the one who does, and we will say yes to the call of God, and we will walk in the fullness of what he's called us to do in spite of fear, then yes, God will use that vessel. He will choose that individual because he knows they will give him glory. And that's what our lives are to do, right? In everything that we learn, all the different gifts that we have studied, it's all to give the glory unto the Lord, to be used through God by him, so that the glory all goes to Jesus Christ, the one that we serve, the one that we're yielded to. Amen?
Amen.
So when we talk about leadership and administration, maybe that is one of your gifts. Maybe, or, you know, two of them. I mentioned two today. Maybe these are some of your gifts. Maybe they're not. Maybe you're like, I don't think I'm a leader, you know. Well, I mean, you might be surprised. You might be surprised. You might be more of a leader than you realize. But we also need people that are team players. Not everybody is going to be a leader. We need team workers, team players, right? We need people to carry out the vision, right? And it's also, sometimes God will have you lead in a certain area in your life. But in another area in your life, you're on the team. You're working, and you could you lead? Yes, but that's not what God's called you to do in that area. He's called you to be a helper. He's called you to lead. He's called you to serve in a different way. So don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when the Lord uses you, works through you in different ways and in different areas of your life. But just be open. Be yielded. It's beautiful to be able to let the Lord minister through you to an individual that needs to hear what God is speaking to them through you. It's beautiful to recognize you have the potential and the power to build somebody up in the love of God, not in flattery, but in the love of God, and equip them so that they too can go out and fight and win. Because they don't back down. And the work of the cross that is accomplished for all of us becomes very evident even in their lives. So expect the opposition, expect the ridicule, expect all the backlash and all that. But don't expect to be laying down and let the enemy walk all over you. Rise up, even like Nehemiah, and recognize we don't look to that. His face was literally on the Lord. A man of prayer and a man that would plan and see that plan come to pass and didn't allow the distractions, the confusion, the words, the flattery, the deception to get him off track. God has put you on a course. He's put you on track. And there are many leaders in this room. And there are many leaders that know their leaders, and some that are thinking, yeah, I can see some of that. And some that go, no, not at all, but I love to serve. Praise God, regardless of where you're at. No matter what God has already spoken and revealed unto you, but there are a lot of gifts Many we've covered, and there's a few more to cover, we will. But regardless of the gift mix that he's given you, walk in it. Use them. Let God minister to you and through you. And don't diminish them. Don't belittle them. Don't talk down or bad or compare with other gifts and deem them better than yours. Because if it's the same Holy Spirit that spoke and is in that individual operating and is also in you operating, and you're belittling yours because you're comparing it to somebody else, then who are you really doing this to? Right? So we don't want to, you know, diminish or belittle what God is doing in any one of us. And he does want to use all of us. He does want to work through all. We need every hand at work, every person on board. We need every person that hears the call of God and answering that call of God all into his glory and not our own.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Wow, we praise you, Father. I'm just going to pray here for a moment. Those are the notes that he had me write out for tonight. And so I just want to pray for a moment. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you brought here tonight. And I thank you, Father God, for the topic just on the gifts of leadership and administration, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you have called us, every one of us, to walk in your kingdom, to walk with faith, and to walk believing, Lord, for so much more, and not settling from where we are at. Some, Lord, are carrying a heavy, heavy heart, so heavy, and they're like, leadership, administrative, if she only knew what I'm dealing with right now, I can barely pick my head up right now. Lord, I thank you, even for those times. Some of us are there right now, and some of us were there. At one point, we were there at one point or another. But I thank you for every season. For those that are there right now, that place of hard sorrow, discouraging, I did all I could just to get here tonight. You don't know what I'm struggling with. For those ladies, may the Spirit of the living God rest upon you and give you the grace, the supernatural grace right now. Cause you to recognize you are exactly where God planted you to be tonight. You didn't miss one thing. You are being spoken to, encouraged and equipped and empowered, because the season that you're in right now is not a lifetime sentence. It is not where you're going to remain. And you were meant to hear what you heard, because there is hope in your future. There is hope for your future. And that hope is called Jesus Christ. That hope is our Savior that never ever will leave you where you have found yourself in despair and discouragement and in heartache and heartbreak. But he will raise you up, but he is looking at your responses. He is looking at your responses even now. And he is saying, I know you're in pain, but I'm telling you, I am going to raise you up from this place. And I am giving you strengthened tools, sharpened swords. When you come up and out of this place, the fire that is within you, you are being forged through this fire. But the fiery individual that you are becoming, you won't even recognize. So don't despise what I'm doing. Don't despise what I'm doing. Don't think that you missed it. Don't think that you've gone too far, it's too much. No, you're the exact person that Nehemiah was in the very beginning, heartbroken, devastated, and a prisoner serving in a foreign land. But God saw this prisoner serving in a foreign land and equipped him and strengthened him and gave him a plan, but not until it was the right time. Everything is done in the season of God's approval. So what we go through right now, we can thank you, thank him, thank you, Jesus. We can thank you for it, because he's bringing us up to be people, women, that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and not our own. So I speak over you right now, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, power of the Most High God, take you into that next season. And for the ladies, the people
people that feel like, oh yeah, I really feel like that's not my season anymore, but I've been there, I totally get it, and I have compassion for those that are there. But you know, God has brought me up, and though I remember it, I feel like, thank you, Lord, I just want to serve you. I'm your vessel. Those that feel like that season has changed, Lord, I thank you for your divine inspired ideas. I thank you for the equipping that you're putting upon them, Lord, even just by hearing these teachings. I thank you, Lord God, that it starts with one simple yes in our hearts. One simple yes. A yes unto you, Jesus. And that yes is continual. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even as you give them vision, strategies, I thank you, Lord God, that as you give them your plan, and they start to carry it out. Leaders and administrators and those that are filled with all of the gifts of God will recognize it is time to walk in the abundance, even though everything is not perfect. But I will be used by the Lord as a mighty, mighty warrior, and I will not back down, because what I have gone through, meaning us, what we have gone through individually is not wasted, never will be wasted, but always, always will be used in God's kingdom if we allow Him, and we allow Him to. We say yes. Let's all pray just for a moment. Just yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your ways. Yes to your plan. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you didn't leave me in the mess that I was in, but you raised me up, you picked me up, and you healed my heart. I thank you, Lord God, it's in those times, Lord, where the deep dependency on Christ was so fostered, Lord God, that it will never shift, it will never change now. I thank you, Lord, for the person you've called us to be and literally molded us to be. And I thank you, Lord, that now we may be standing on a mountaintop, but our hearts are yielded and laid down lovers to Jesus. And that's how we were made. Strong externally, yielded and settled internally. And we will remain that way, no matter what. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.